the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning to everyone outside. Good morning. I greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I bring you greetings on behalf of your brothers and your sisters in the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta, where I'm the bishop, where we are 120 worshiping communities, distributed over 75 and a half counties, 56,000 men, women, children, teenagers, and as I like to say, feisty seniors. I'm delighted to be here with you. For those of you who are part of the St. John's community, your rector, Jimmy, and I have known each other almost 20 or so years. He's been trying to get me to Jackson Hole, and now I see why. So my wife and I, Beth, are happy to be here, and we'll be here for 2 weeks. And so if you don't like this sermon, give me another try next week. Dr. King said so many decades ago, he said, "What is there left to do when you're in jail but think long, deep thoughts and write long letters?" Beautiful rendition of the letter from Paul to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians. Yeah? Paul's letter from jail. And we Episcopalians, we are curious people. We throw a whole lot of Bible at you. And it's a bit of a task every Sunday. You're supposed to find the golden thread. And there is one every Sunday. Yeah? And the golden thread today is exactly what Paul said. Time to grow up. Time to grow up. It's time to grow up. And Paul says, in the full stature of Christ. Not a nebulous growing up, not simply biological, but growing up spiritually. We who sit at the foot of this mountain and at the foot of this cross come here to believe, belong, and become. It's not just enough to believe. It's not just enough to belong. We are becoming because the Spirit ain't done with us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
If you're finished here, please raise your hand. I'd love to talk to you. Paul said we ought to grow up. We ought to grow up. Y'all watching the news? Grow up. To the red, grow up. To the blue, grow up. East, west, north, and south, globally, time to grow up. Why that? I'm glad you asked. Here's what we've learned. I'm 60. I'm almost grown up myself, and I'm figuring this stuff out. Youth comes but once. Enjoy it. But immaturity can last a lifetime. Time to grow up. What is growing up in Christ mean? Well, that's the thread we got to follow. From the very beginning, this first lesson from Exodus, growing up is really getting centered on God's abundance. It's not being a good little boy or a good little girl. Sometimes we default to that. But that's not the deal. The deal is, who is this creator? Who is this creator that loves you? All of you. The warts, the gifts, the strengths, the liabilities. Who is this God? That's the journey for life. Who is this God who made the mountains and made you? I love the way Psalm 8 says it. This God who sets the sun, the moon, the planets in their courses, and yet comes to visit me. Who am I? It's not supposed to be us to have some sense of worthlessness. Actually, quite the opposite. I'm worth a lot in God's eyes. What is the Western heresy? I think, therefore I am. It's a good start. But you are so much more than you can think. You are who God says you are. Not what Vogue says you are, or Cosmo, or the Wall Street Journal, or your portfolio. You are so much more than that. Yeah, and so to grow up is to live a life in clear mind and clear eyes with God's abundance. That's the best of us poured out when we understand what's been poured into us. We're not trying to be good people. What the hell is that anyway? Good people. Who gets to judge? What I'm doing is I'm living in response to a God that loves me and who has left God's fingerprints all over this world. Did you see the hummingbird?
Yes.
Come on. You can't even make that. You know, I'm kind of really buoyant today because, you know, we were wandering around the other day heading out towards Kelly and saw two moose. You don't see that in Georgia. Who is this God, this creative genius that with a paintbrush that only God can manage, creates this world? And that we live in a relationship to this God. So growing up is understanding that God has been good to you. The Hebrews were coming out of slavery into freedom, a great gift. And it says they complained. And in another psalm, not the psalm for today, it said, while their mouths were filled with the food that God provided, yet they complained. Ouch. Am I the only one? What would it be to rewire ourselves? In the Episcopal Church, and a lot of denominations, we start off in our prayer life with what I call the CNNification of prayer. It's the spiritualized woes of the world, don't we? Praying for this and praying for that, and we should. But what we need to reclaim are three genres of prayer. Adoration. Wow. What an incredible God you are. Wow. Two, thanksgiving. So many people on this earth would trade places with you in a heartbeat. All the abundance that's been poured into us. And then this last movement, oblation. As you put your feet on the floor in the morning, I double dog dare you to ask this question. What can I do for you today, God? What can I do for you? You've been so good to me. I couldn't have earned the life I have. The health, the synapses firing, the heart beating. Couldn't deserve it. What could I do for you, God? That's why Paul says, grow up. We may be at a critical intersection in this nation's history right now. And you and I, called out to live for Jesus, are supposed to be Christ Jesus' emissaries. We are first and foremost citizens of the kingdom of heaven. First and foremost, before your political partisan relationships. There is no Democrat, there is no Republican part of heaven. Paul says, grow up. How do we grow up? He says, number two, tell the truth in love. Y'all watching the internet? No. Hot damn. I mean, what is that? It's a mess. Keyboard courage. Easy to hate at a distance. Hard to hate up close. Who are you in that? Maybe as we come to this altar today, we reset ourselves. Sometimes we need to pray before we open our mouths. Am I the only one? We've confused candor with aggression. It's different. Our candor goes through the filter of love. And we realize that God's looking at us, and God sees all of our stuff, and God is quick to forgive us. And so God is trying to grow up in us grace. Grace enough for the world. Grace enough for the difficult conversations. Grace enough for the partisan conversations. We are a very complicated American family. And no one party has all the answers. We've got to figure out how to work together for the good of us all. If we say we are a Christian nation, if we're still saying that, then we've got to use Jesus' conflict strategy. We've got to grow up. Yeah. And then this last thing. In whose stature? In Christ Jesus' stature. In his stature. And so, Walter Brueggemann, a great theologian, has said this. If we are actually in close proximity to Jesus, here's what's going to happen to our lives. Three things are going to burn away. First, smallness. We're going to have to grow up and be bigger people. Number two, the separation that we enjoy from others. And lastly, our superiority. Now, I live in Georgia, And we enjoy both our superiority and our separateness, especially when it comes to SEC football. See me afterwards. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And if we can't be honest at the foot of this cross about our growing edges, where can we be honest? This God knows us. This God loves us. This God sees our unfinished parts. And there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but there is invitation. There's no browbeating, no arm twisting, no guilt, no shame, but there is invitation. What this world needs now, what this nation needs now, and I bet what your local community needs now is a Christian adult in the room. Someone who understands we are God's precious and peculiar treasure, as the psalmist says. God's betting on us. We would give God some advice about that, but nevertheless, in God's genius, God is working through us. And God won't just come and save us automatically. In God's weird imagination, God wants to work through us so that you and I get to participate in his kingdom making, in his ongoing friendship campaign. He wants us to have a hand in conflict resolution, in forgiveness, in radical charity, for the making of our own souls. I was having a conversation just before I walked out, and we were realizing, paraphrasing, we were realizing that all of us will not be here as long as the Tetons. It's a great gift we have to worship at the foot of these mountains, you know. We start to really get a sense of our mortality. Not to be morbid, but here we are, and they'll still be here. What contribution do you want to make before you go? What do you want to do for God? Because of all the things that God has done for you. Amen. Amen.